Nope.
Nope.
Yep.
That's my response.
Okay. Okay, it is 5 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, March 24th, 2026. We will call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Smith. Here. Spiegel.
Here.
Daniel.
Here. In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on March 10th. I know that there was one correction, Lisa, you had pointed out.
Yeah, just that I had seconded on the encroachment agreement for 782 West Business 30.
Okay. Besides that, any other changes or corrections?
Didn't have any.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes with the noted change.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those bearers show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up, you'll notice that we moved public comment to earlier in the meeting, and that was because we felt like it was kind of silly to do public comment after all the issues had been decided. So we move it to the front of the meeting. Nobody's here, so we'll move on past public comment.
I do have.
Oh, yes.
I had a phone call.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going out to the Board of Works,
okay.
I had an issue out at the Lester's Trail.
Okay.
Where people are not keeping their dogs on a leash. Okay. And so I didn't know if we got signs everywhere, signs. We need to put a sign out there because people from outside our community might be bringing their dogs in. I had an issue where my dog chased a lady, and apparently the owner said, "Oh, it's friendly, it's okay, it won't hurt my children," but you don't know that.
Yeah.
And a dog's coming at you. So I don't know. I brought it out and said, do we need to put a sign out there that all dogs must be on leashes?
I know, Matt.
For that matter.
Go ahead.
I've got some that we put at Eagle Park and Morsha's for the same purposes, that some people will go and let their dogs run on the football field and other people are walking the track and they don't feel safe. But I did have some put up there so I can place them every so often along the trail if need to be.
Like I said, I think people coming in don't understand the rules, and if they leave their dogs loose, you know, my dog will run up to you and lick you to death, but you don't know that when she's coming at you. So maybe, you know, you probably have to
can you reset that? Can you reset that camera?
Oh. How often would you suggest, Dan?
I'm sorry?
How far apart?
I just kind of maybe where the entrances are.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that would help. I mean, where they first get on the trail. I mean, I hate to add more signs, but you know, it seems to be an issue, so might not hurt. Hopefully they read them, you know, but so I just thought maybe we ought to address it. So.
Yeah, we've got some left over.
Okay. Oh, terrific. That'll be great. Thank you.
Yep.
There we go. Let's get away from that. Anything else for public comment?
No.
Okay. Thanks, Terry. It's working to reset itself, hopefully. I thought we'd have this issue fixed, but it is. Yeah, I'm still at no signal, unfortunately. Oh, there we go. There it is. Let's see if I can get it to work here in a moment. Okay. We'll get it. Thank you. There we go. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we have the MSF gutter replacement quotes. We're going to table that to the next meeting. Next up is the fire department radio quotes. Toby, I believe that is you.
That's me. Since I have a presentation, I don't really, but we can certainly talk about
you'd like to table
the packet in front of you.
He already tabled it once, I think, so.
Tom did several times, yes.
Now it's Toby's turn. Mm-hmm.
I know a packet was sent out to you guys with some information in it. It has all of our quotes attached from the appropriate vendors for those radios we're looking at. Hopefully you've all have read the letter. Our recommendation as a fire department and looking at all of the testing that we've done, all the options and things that come with those radios. At this time, we just Motorola hands down is the superior product as far as our needs and our wants going forward, and it comes with a price tag, obviously, but we feel it's, in the long run, it will eventually pay itself off. There's programming woes and things that can happen, and it's a superior product. It's meant to work in environments that normal radios aren't meant to work in, and it's tested and held to a standard that is expected in our career. So I ask your blessing in that, and if you have any questions, feel free to fire away.
It's a big difference in price.
Yes.
That's what I was looking at as a home, looking at, there's a significant difference in price.
Yeah. Some of the things, the backbone of Motorola's system on the state's P25-800 system is probably their big selling point as far as user operability. It has what's called two different redundant systems built in. So in the event that we're in a building and we can't reach out to one of the state towers, it has basically a fallback plan. It can utilize cellular networks, also Wi-Fi networks to get out. And it all does it seamlessly behind the scenes. That's the big thing. That operability is unmatched. The other two vendors don't even offer anything like it.
So basically with the other two vendors, if you can't get that connection, your SOL.
You get a bonk and you don't get out.
Yeah.
Well, does a Motorola work with our dispatch?
Yes.
Yes.
We have a Motorola dispatch and Motorola dual band radios for the police department.
Yeah, they've been using them, 10 years, Gary, or better?
Yeah, 15 almost.
15 years.
We got them 2011. No issues with them.
Rock solid.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's a big ask. It's a big number difference between the quotes, but what it can do is the thing that we can't even find anywhere else. I mean, we got quotes from J&K. We had quotes from L3Harris. They're another big manufacturer, and those quotes are very similar. But again, L3Harris can't do those things. The state's backbone is not built out for it. So. We went out and tested these. We've had demo radios from the Kenwoods and the Motorolas, and we've unscrewed the antennas to make sure it had a failure and keyed up, and we're still able to key up and hear them across their pagers. It's all done in the background, and it works, like I said, seamlessly. So,
can we budget that much for this?
No, so, Leslie, do you want to talk about the financial piece of that?
Yeah, so we had already discussed this when we were looking at the new fire truck, and we've talked to them about including it in the lease or loan, whichever we get for the fire truck, knowing that the approximate cost that it was going to be, so we were going to include that as part of that package.
And we feel like, you know, so we've had our Motorola radios for the police department since 2011. So I think you were on council when that was approved. So I just say that to say, I mean, here we are in 2026, and those radios are, yes, they're getting older, mm-hmm. for sure, but they've been solid.
Yes.
They've been solid. So we feel like having a lease purchase kind of scenario where I think we're looking at, 10-year?
Mm-hmm.
10-year for the fire truck. Seems like an appropriate time frame to lease to purchase effectively the radios as well. So.
And I will say we even talked to pretty much all of the vendors about, do we do a lease outside of the fire truck just for the radios, and none of them came back even close to the interest rate that we're going to be paying
mm-hmm.
if we include it in with the fire truck. So. It didn't make sense for us to go that direction.
So is this tonight a purchase for us, or is this for the go-ahead to purchase?
So I was going to follow that. I guess the question is what's the lead time on these?
I have not gave any information out to any of – all we've done is collect quotes. I think it's a couple weeks lead time on the radios, and they can push back payment. We're going to time it. Our plan is to time it with purchase of the truck. So if we have to delay, you know, 3 or 4 weeks to get that order placed so that we time it with when the new engines come in and the financing for that.
So ultimately, I think the biggest thing for us is, you know, obviously the council is the fiscal body. So they're going to be the ones that would approve going through the bonding process or for the loan process for the truck and the radios per se. But I think because we're the administrative safety board, we need to kind of give a blessing on the recommendation, if you will, by the fire department on this. Because ultimately, we can say, yes, go ahead and purchase it. But it's still the council that has to make the decision on where we get the money from, right? And so, so Toby will be staying for the council. Now, we will not necessarily be voting on the actual loan for the truck and the radios tonight.
Correct.
I think it's going to be more of he's going to be presenting the information to council to say, is it okay to include this in the loan with the truck? So just so you're aware of what it is, because it's a weird situation here because we're kind of waiting to do the loan part as we get closer to having the truck so that we're not getting a loan and paying on loan that we don't have anything to show for it. So it's kind of a...
We're using Indiana Bank Bond, which is who we'll go through. We've got, and obviously we'll send it out to the other vendors as well that have quoted us in the past, right around December time, I think, November, December, but they asked for no more than 90 days out. So we can't, knowing that we're not going to be till July, maybe, right? We're kind of waiting until we know more of a definitive date before we go back and get final numbers. Mm-hmm. So, because it's not going to be good if we're just wasting our time to get updated numbers at this time.
So you'll explain that situation tonight to
the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I think we're just, at this point in time, you know... I can vouch for, I sat through the meetings as well with all three of the vendors. Truly, it came down to the Kenwood and Motorola when we looked at both of the radios. And after, you know, talking with Toby and having them on with them and just being able to hear each other and in the remote areas where they may not have access out in Aetna Township, that's one of them, Motorola was the one that we felt that we really need to protect our fire department. But we just want to make sure that we're kind of ahead of the game at this point in time by saying, okay, this is what it's going to look like. We don't want to come to you last minute in this huge sticker shock.
So ultimately, I think tonight we're just looking for a blessing, if you will, to move forward with Motorola over the other two options. Again, I think there's a lot of great interoperability with the police department, with our dispatch system, and certainly with the Corps, with the state Corps, which is really, really important when it comes to our public safety in general. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can, if, let's say, God forbid, we need to go and help our friends in Kendallville or Huntington or other places like this, it connects us that way through their Corps, through the 800 system, through all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's got the LTE, too, I believe.
The 800 system is statewide.
Yes.
You can talk from one end to the other.
Yep. But as of right now, we're on VHF.
Right? Kind of pigeonholed right now.
Yes.
And I know Tom's brought this up several times. We kind of waited to see what the rest of the county was going to do because the VHF system's in not great shape.
Yep.
And we keep getting told that we're kicking a can down the road with it. So. Now that they've all started kind of making the moves to get on the 800 system, we know it's our turn, so.
What was I going to ask you? Are these dual band, or are they strictly?
They're actually tri-band. They do VHF, which we will keep and maintain for right now for paging.
Yep.
And they have 800 and UHF and 700 capabilities. So they actually consider them a tri-band.
We'll
just be using the dual band options in it.
Gotcha. Okay.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Toby.
We're not voting a motion or
anything. I think we'll probably still take a motion of support, if you will. But yes, I think ultimately we're not telling them yes, go purchase it because the council has to be the one to say that, and we can't really do that until we go through the loan process. So I think it's more of a making sure that we're all okay with moving forward as a part of the truck financing piece, that this is, I mean, again, it's a $500,000 effectively, right? I mean, it's not a small purchase by any means, but it is absolutely critical to the next 20 years of firefighting. So, and how many, we're getting how many? Is it 30-some?
32 is what was quoted.
32.
We had started off at 30 and did some recalculating mm-hmm. and making sure we had enough radios for our volunteer staff.
Gotcha.
Also, and we miscalculated, so we're at 32. From
so 30. This is trucks, bodies,
yep.
and volunteers, and all that.
Yep, this okay. is all full-time staff, all volunteer yep. officers. We don't issue radios to the volunteer firefighters. They collect those off the truck, so
yep.
each truck will have a couple spares on it
okay.
as well. Yeah, this covers everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'll make a motion that we give a blessing to going with Motorola as part of the potential agreement
on that
truck, fire truck, and going forward.
And I will second that.
Motion seconded. Further discussion.
To it.
What?
I want to have I want to add 25 radios to it too. So.
We can't put that on the fire department leasing.
Thank you.
Nice try.
Financing. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thanks, Toby. Appreciate it.
Mayor, I just want to say something on those radios
yeah.
too. If they lose tower service, it does click over to Verizon to a cell service. So.
Yeah.
If there's not a tower in the area,
yeah.
then it clicks over to.
Are you guys tri-band as well?
Ours?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Uh-oh.
They not got our
you.
Current ones.
They got you by one band.
That's right. We didn't. I don't know the last time we switched over to VHF. You know.
Yeah. I can imagine.
I just want to say thank you, Toby, for doing mm-hmm. all the background work and all the work on this.
I didn't do it single-handedly. I'd give a shout-out to Reese Perry. He set up all the appointments, and thank you, Leslie, for coming to those meetings. I think it was important that she hear what we were hearing because mm-hmm. we can be biased at times. But
well, I appreciate all the information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next up is back to our favorite conversation, which is about downtown events. I do want to notate that Councilman Adamson and Chief Parrott and I did meet last week to talk through a couple of different thoughts and ideas. And I think I sent those to you. I don't know. You probably didn't have a chance. I know you've been meeting all day. So a couple of things that we're thinking of I'll just list some of the things. Were you cool with that list that
yeah.
I sent
yep.
based on our conversation?
Yep.
Okay. So here's what we're kind of leaning toward, okay? I really don't know that I feel comfortable making a decision tonight. Just I hate keep putting it on, but I feel like it's something we need to spend some good time and thought about. So with that being said, any event that's estimated to have less than 250 people at one time are encouraged but not required to hire a uniformed officer. Any event at 250 to 499, so anybody between 250 and 500 are required. If they're going to have that amount of people in the downtown area or in the event space at one time, then we will require them to, or we're recommending requiring them to have one uniformed police officer, which is $65 an hour. That's what we charge for basically off-duty protection, if you will. Any event that's 500 or more, in that event area, be hiring of two uniformed officers. So again, that's $130 per hour. That includes both individuals. Go ahead.
Now, do we already have an agreement with Old Settlers and First Friday?
So not in regards to this part. We have an agreement when it comes to the, let's say, rental of streets, which I haven't got to yet, but. I don't know. I don't think we have anything with Old Settlers at
no,
this moment.
We do not.
So
it all falls back on the taxpayer right now. I mean,
yeah,
we have
the taxpayer kind of holds that burden. But let me get through my list, and then I'm happy to answer your question. No, you're fine. You're fine, Dan. They would only have to have this one or two officers at the event during the actual event hours, not in the setup time, not in the teardown time, just in the event hours. And again, that's only when they're going to have that amount of people in the actual event area at one time. It's not a cumulative, it is at one time. And events can request having those officers by calling CCPD directly, which again, we need to talk about how that works financially. But incident action plan will be created by the CCPD in conjunction with the Whitley County EMA for most events. Event organizers are not necessarily required to hire firefighters, but for large events that may be encouraged. We were kind of on the fence about that a little bit, Toby, and I talked to Tom about this. So, but there are certainly going to be times where firefighters are going to be out and about. They're not going to be at the fire station, but more often than not, they are at the fire station during these events, so they are nearby. With that being said, if they're doing fire dances or things like that, then it's a scenario where we may require that kind of stuff. I did say, however, or I'm sorry, so let me back up. Concrete barriers, so both purchased or rented, depending on how it is, that only be mandated for events potentially lasting multiple days. So again, if it's a, again, these are just notes that we had, conversation points, if you will, but obviously events should take the appropriate caution to prohibit vehicles from entering the festival area, no matter what the time, either, you know, placement of food trucks or vendor stations or things like that to make it more protected. And a fire lane shall always be maintained throughout the event to make sure our firefighters can get in.
Well, that's a concrete barrier.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I mean, I understand it, but dang, okay, who pays for those? Who sets them up every time we have a...
It's not us. That's the answer to your question, is it's
okay,
not us.
And where do we store these crazy things? It's like, I can't see Kelly's group taking their front end loader up every time to... Every first Friday, I can't see their department doing that. I mean, that's a heck of a, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's why we threw it out there multiple days. If it's going to be like Cold Settlers, they're there for a week.
Yeah. But if it's something where, again, first Friday pulls in at night or on Friday night and pulls out on Friday night, then it's not something that we would require that. It would only be for those multiple day events where you're going to have things stationed, especially overnight or things like that. So,
I was just thinking of how much added work that is.
The danger factor would be what the scary thing about it, trying to move things like that around.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't want our guys involved in it at all.
Yeah, my understanding is that there's companies that you can effectively rent them to come and put them down and pick them up, just like you could bounce houses or things to that effect.
And we pay for that?
No. They pay for that in some way, shape, or form. Again, I think these are all really discussion points for us to figure out where the appropriate place is. I don't think you are. It's more just trying to figure out what's the right mix. So for downtown events, each block of street, the event organizer organization request for closure will cost $25 as part of the street closing permit. I kind of had listed two questions, but obviously, how do we handle the payment of the police officer is one thing we have to get straightened out. The other thing we need to get straightened out is, okay, so what happens if they have a five-hour event and they have that 500 people or 250 people for 1 hour of that event, right? So there's some little logistical things that I think we're headed in the right direction, okay? I think it's really important to have some kind of police protection. However, I also think there's still some things we have to hammer out, which is why I don't feel comfortable passing it tonight. Go ahead.
Really, two events that have that many people, First Fridays and Old Settlers. So if you're looking at, if we don't already have an agreement with
mm-hmm,
them,
mm-hmm.
You're talking $130 an hour?
For two officers?
For two officers,
mm-hmm.
For, say, Old Settlers, which runs from 5 to 11, basically, or 6 to 11 by the time all the people get there.
Yeah.
So that's still 5 hours at that kind of rate for 5 nights. That's a chunk of change for that organization to drum up, or unless we already have an agreement. But that's a lot of money at night. The same way the first Fridays, unless we have an agreement, you're looking at from 5 to 9, so 4 hours. Well, I can't say there's that many people at 5 o'clock, but 6 o'clock definitely. There's a couple thousand people up here.
Right.
And so we're still looking at a decent amount of money coming out of $360. mm-hmm. you know, for a night for First Fridays. You know, so, I mean, when you're, I know after running a few festivals and organizations, mm-hmm. that's a, and then charging on top of that for the street closure. And not only that, how much, you know, per block for a street closure. So we're talking some serious, mm-hmm. I mean, for a group, that's a lot of money coming up. And then, you know, if we, whoever pays for the concrete barriers, which is over basically two events, but I'm just adding this all up, and I'm like, dang. And then the people that run the vendors that are there are paying, you know, for permits for the city to have their food truck here, and then they're also paying the county for their food truck.
Do they pay for food truck vendors if they're a part of an event?
No.
They don't pay. No, they don't. They don't. So if they're at Food First Friday or they're at if they're in an event space, they don't pay the fee for the, because they're a part, they're under the actual event. So if, so the food truck doesn't pay a fee to the city if they're on at First Friday or or Old Settlers, things like that. I get your point though. It doesn't diminish your point.
Sure.
Sure.
Maybe Matt will be busy. We're just having a lot of Matt's part.
Oh. Do you see that look? That's a pretty quick head snap.
Kind of respected that, but.
So I think, I'm going to go back to what I've said in the past. I think it's a balancing act, right? Because at the end of the day, it's really not a matter of if, but a matter of when something happens. So the question is what is it that we're going to mandate? And maybe the answer is we don't, you know, maybe we don't mandate two. Maybe we mandate one, right? Or whatever the case is. Maybe we don't, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like when I've talked to other mayors, when I've looked at other big events that they have lots of people in their downtown, it is fairly common for them to mandate police officers to be there. But I also understand if you're talking about nonprofit organizations, it's not like they're flush with cash. Now, you know, I think, you know, if they were to charge, let's say, $5 or $10 more per vendor or something, they probably could cover this easily, cover the fee easily. But how easy will it be to get those vendors to come with, you know, I don't know what they charge currently, but I think it's not an easy decision, is my point, which is why I think we've stewed on this for a couple of meetings now as to what is appropriate or not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for safety and all that, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, here we're footing the bill for that.
Well, right now we are.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, the taxpayers flipping the bill.
Yep.
But, so, and I'm kind of caught in a, no, I don't think the taxpayers should have to pay for all that. But then again, I ran festivals and stuff, and it's like, you know, it's a catch. Basically. But it'll be interesting to see what the council says.
I mean, again, at the end of the day, the decision on some of this stuff is definitely here at the Board of Works, but obviously it is, I mean, Councilman Adamson and Gary and I, and Leslie to a certain extent as well, have been kind of contemplating how is it that we balance the idea of taxpayers paying for certain things, and safety of our constituents and our visitors, as well as you have nonprofits that, they're nonprofits, so it's not like they're flush with cash. And then you have the other issue, which is we're being squeezed by the state, you know? So it's one of those where, at the end of the day, I said it during the property tax debate, like, at the end of the day, someone is going to have to fill the gap. It's going to have to pay the difference, right? And, it's not an easy thing. So, Leslie, I don't know if you're kind of.
I'm just looking up different types of barricades, other than maybe I was just trying to figure out pricing for a concrete barricade and what that looks like, and if there's something else, I guess I need to do a little bit more. I was trying to find places around Fort Wayne to do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, looks like it might be limited, but.
So I think what if it's okay with you guys, I mean, I think what I'll probably end up doing is I'll send you that kind of list, if you will, now that I've talked about it publicly, so it's not a violation of open door because I just read it to the public, take a look at it. Let me know what you think. Think, you know, consider all the different angles.
Should we bring the organizers of the couple major events to bring in so we got a conversation with them so we can spring something on?
No, I agree 100% that we should. I know that at some point, I think I talked about it at the last meeting, I know at some point Brent was in conversation, maybe with Ryan. Maybe Ryan and Brent were having conversations from the Old Settler standpoint. And again, like I said, I know that we have a kind of an agreement with for Friday with Columbia City Connect, but this would obviously change some of that. So yeah, I mean, and we're getting close to summer festival season too, and I know that as well. So it's not an easy spot to be in, but I think we definitely could. Yeah.
I just think we need to bring them in and to let them know so it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got to come up with this kind of money. You know, we don't. Because they budget everything too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, 100% agree with you. 100% agree. So. Okay. Well, then I know what I need to do, and we'll keep working on that. Bills.
We also have a...
Oh, we do have a street closure?
A retro street.
Oh, it's retro.
I apologize. Did I just skip over it? Yep, I did. Okay, so this is for the Grant Building. I actually did talk to Billy about this on Friday night, so... they're a little worried about some of the crown molding that's not real solid. So I don't know. They've not started yet, have they?
There was just a finish on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, did they finish on Saturday? Okay.
It was just a one-day.
I talked to her on Friday, so that makes sense.
Yep.
That I'm, so this is retroactive then?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Any questions? I'll make a motion. We approve the street closing permit retroactively for the parking areas in front of 305 West Van Buren.
I'll second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Anything else?
Nope.
Bills.
I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $188,642.05 from the allowance of accounts payable vouchers dated March 24th, 2026 for checks.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $976,558.30 from the allowance of accounts payable vouchers dated March 24th, 2026 for EFT payments.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous.
And I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable except overtime in the amount of $273,168.82 plus overtime in the amount of $9,307.26 for a total of $282,476.08 for the pay file ending March 6th, 2026.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Department head reports. Terry.
Worked with Corson Fire Systems today. Getting ready for to be able to monitor the fire alarm in the jail. SOS got cabling run today for that, so hopefully we can get that up here next week or so. worked with Craig Trowbridge from Entrust today also, working on the SCADA system. Mm-hmm. We're making upgrades to the water department portion of it, could not finish it because of some errors, and it's going to have to come back to do that. And also attended to BSNA software show today, and stuff looks pretty promising. Looks like it'd be good for the city to use.
Cool. Questions of Terry? Thank you. Mike?
Our UV system's up and running. Our first test came out today. Perfect. No issues there. First sample of our biomonitoring was sent in yesterday. And second one will go in tomorrow, and the third one will go in Friday. We started that early this year to try to get it out of the way, and hopefully we pass everything. We started application reviews for our position.
Okay. Question to Mike. Thank you. Toby.
101's being repaired today for some coolant and oil leaks. Breathing air compressor is advertised for sale, and all financials are going to run through Leslie. The new compressor is supposed to be here sometime in April, we're being told. And then... We got the old compressor moved out of that room to prepare the space for the new one when it gets here. And Trent and I took 107 down to Indy again yesterday for some leak repairs that we noticed when we went out and did some flow testing on it. So we haven't heard back from them yet.
Okay. Question to Toby. Thank you. Matt.
We're still hiring summer help. We went out to the high school. Sean, myself, and Beth went out to the high school to the career fair and passed out some applications. Had a little booth out there to tell them what we're about and how easy it is and how nice it is to work with us, because we have the benefits of being able to be flexible with their schedules, especially sports schedules. Putting together the baseball and softball teams to get started. I know Dan asked last meeting about our numbers. 2025, we had a total with softball and baseball of 521 kids. This year, 2026, we have a total of 570 kids. Hmm. So we went up. And that, of course, starts opening day is the 25th. We'll have a little get together, all the kids and coaches, and then they'll parade and walk down to the Four Diamonds, and we're going to have kind of a little ceremony for them and little things like that. I'm waiting on the quoting for the pool tile that it fell off over the winter. And I want to take a minute and thank Kelly for letting Jason Wells come down and help the guys with finishing some concrete, given Jason's wisdom on that. And we got the rest of the tennis nets and pickleball nets up last week. I know everybody was wanting that before the weekend. And the park board okayed the dog park fencing last night. And they also okayed for the resurfacing of the 3 pickleball and 2 basketball courts there by the pool.
Okay. What does resurfacing mean?
They go ahead and
like grind it and then
Well, they make it like a blank slate, and then they fill cracks and all that, and then they go through, and then they they'll match the other 3 pickleball courts. We'll have the courts in 3 colors.
Okay.
Instead of just
are you gonna rotate them?
No, we don't have enough room for that.
Questions are met. Thank you, GP.
Okay, Officer Garmin, Officer Blocker, and Officer Didion are in their 12th week at the academy, 4 weeks to go. So,
almost there.
Glad to have them back and start through their FTO. But during that time, we will have Officer Jansen and Officer Bedwell. They'll be through their FTO, so they'll be help covering shifts. And so they should be here while the other two that are in the academy get through their FTO, and then they'll go off to the academy. So it's kind of a little game here. So, but we'll have the most shift coverage, so that'd be great. With that being said, we do have 4 interviews for laterals tomorrow for the 3 positions, or Thursday, excuse me, with the command staff, so be looking for an email to set up maybe Board of Works interviews. Hopefully we can get a couple out of this. So all the tornado sirens are functioning properly as expected. That's great. So changed the batteries out at Denzel and made them work fine now. Mission Barbecue, I want to thank them for their generosity of providing lunch for police and dispatch today as a token of appreciation for our service. So they brought in lunch. That was nice of them. Friday the 20th, we conducted Operation Pullover on U.S. 30. I don't know if you've heard about that. You know, there were some comments on Facebook that lots of Columbia City police are out on 30, so watch your back. So we had 6 guys come in that participated, and from 3 to 6, enforcing speed limits, moving violations, hands-free driving compliance. It resulted in 27 citations, 5 criminal arrests, and several warnings. So it was very productive out there.
Good.
Had a variety of day-to-day activity, and that's really all we got.
Okay. Questions to Gary. Thank you. Kelly.
We have 2 guys that are helping with Sean's program of tree removal and the electric department, which I think Sean says that's Chip. So
yep.
Anyway, that started this week, yep. And I think there's 15 on the list, and starting to move through that. We will be having a crew down at the cemetery. We have cleanup. Leslie posted a notice to the public to have things removed. We will be working the rest of this week and next week on trying to get that cleaned up and ready for mowing crews and things like that, fixing graves, all things that go along with that. And then we graded alleys last 2 days, so they're currently in good shape till probably it rains. Hopefully not too bad. And then we had an employee move on, seek employment elsewhere, and ask permission from Board of Works to replace him.
We okay for replacement? Okay. Yep.
That's all I had.
Questions to Kelly? Thank Gary.
While we're talking about cutting down trees, don't forget about my DePoy tornado siren. It's only about a foot from the siren, so I'd like to chop that off. So.
I would pass that on to the crew.
I was just going to thank Kelly for running the sweeper on Main and Van Buren to get all that stuff that the Lester estate put on.
The state left for us.
Yeah, because I'm watching it go right in our drains. And I'm like, are you crazy? I mean, come on. You know, I saw that somebody ran the sweeper today to get all that stuff off before it goes. Or some of it's probably already in there. But I'm like,
well, hopefully
come on.
Before Thursday, because it's supposed to rain Thursday and a lot next week. So hopefully majority of it's up.
I was grateful that Kelly went ahead and got that before it created some major problems for us.
Yep. One of those that we didn't cause it, but it's still our problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, appreciate that. Leslie.
So just wanted to give you guys an update, and hopefully I have it finished by the next meeting, but I'll have for informational purposes, like information that I learned from the training that I attended 2 weeks ago. Again, it was really worthwhile to go down and sit for a week with other clerk treasurers. We didn't have to pay for the class because I ended up getting the scholarship, so it was just my room to go. But looking at making some modernization changes because of that classes, or those classes, I should say. So working on that, and then we had a really good day today. BSNA was in, which is the cloud system of Keystone. Several department heads, which I want to thank them for sitting in with us today just to go over it. I will be bringing that in front of everybody in May because we have to have approval by June to get some fees waived. But I really think it's going to be advantageous for us to move forward. So I want to put everything together and be able to present it to you guys in May.
Great. Thank you. I don't know, lots of stuff happening, but ultimately, biggest thing for you to be aware of next week is spring break week. I will be out of the office that week, so Dan will sort of kind of be in charge, but they can't ask you for anything, so that's
radio's done. Gonna
but I, as always, I'm available by cell phone and all that kind of stuff.
He's a park bike.
So, Dan.
I have nothing.
Lisa. I have nothing.
Anything from the audience? And we have no press, so we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.